other. This is the hope of our confession, that each one of us on this call have been separated by God for a wonderful inheritance, that we are royalties, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Unto our God, a peculiar people, peculiar. This is our confession. I just challenged one of us to roll it upon our tongues for real and lay aside everything this morning and remind yourself how much you are beloved of the Father. You are not religious Christians. We are not called to a religion. We are not called to practices and ordinances. We are called to the living Jesus, the fountain of living water. I would want nothing to do with any of you, if not for Jesus. I would want to do my own thing, to find my own crew, to follow my own laws. But I found in Jesus Christ the brotherhood of grace. I found in Jesus Christ a salvation that is large. All of us peculiar and chosen. None of us qualified. That's the amazing thing. Every other club, you have to show a sign of your own personal qualification. I couldn't join Brother Bumi's tennis club because I don't know the first thing about rackets. They wouldn't let me. I wouldn't be able to join soccer clubs since I was in college. College is university here. It's high school in Nigeria. That's what we used to call college. That was the last time I could really play soccer. They won't let me. And I remember I did not follow soccer because I felt I was really good. I was one of the better ones. And they were choosing clubs my first year in secondary school. And I was one of the most skilled people in my own eyes. And they put me in Team B. And since that day, I refused to go to practice. I was insulted. They said I wasn't qualified. I knew I was better than some of the people in Team A. And that was how forever I lost my soccer talent. They wouldn't let me in. But you tell me what qualifies each one of you to be in the most exclusive club, the most wonderful future, the blessed Redeemer. We are no ordinary people. And thank God we are so no ordinary people that even we ourselves think we're ordinary, because our selection, our election has nothing to do with us. Why? Is it beauty? Which one of you, by reason of beauty, qualifies if Christ was to be picking according to beauty? Which one of us? Our beauty is our relative beauty. There are some incredibly beautiful folks out there, men and women, in the gym all the time, chiseled out. Women just created to be on glossy magazines. And then even the world cannot make up its mind what beauty is. One day is slanting shoulders, another generation is square with shoulder pad, another generation is big head, then slim head. We can't make, because everybody is created beautiful. It's not by reason of intellect. Which one of you here has a, if the Lord were to elect Nobel Prize winners and people who have high intellectual, well, we all have relative intellect. There are some incredibly brilliant people that I've read about. I work with some of them. They have no clue about heavenly things. The Lord said, blessed be you, O Lord, because you have chosen to hide these things from the powerful, the strong. You've shown them to babes like me. The only qualification is that Jesus loves us. I just want to congratulate us, and I want us to be in the right frame of mind. Because when Christ speaks to us, he speaks to us as people who are endowed with tremendous grace. I don't know if you are down this morning, if you think you're nothing, if you're struggling with something. You needn't be, because Jesus knows you. I don't know what it feels like now, but this one thing, says the elder John, we know, when Jesus comes, we'll be exactly as Jesus is. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful, brethren? And you know, please remind yourselves, Where royal, who was that pastor? I don't know where is the Peter, first Peter or second, where royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, called forth to show the praise of God. We need to make that an anthem, because the world will not want you to say, to think you're not enough. There's nothing about you. You don't run fast enough. You're not smart enough. You're not something enough. You don't earn enough. You don't. But you're more than enough, because Jesus is more than enough for us. It does not show yet, but the time will come when it will show. We are in this party today, this group today, because Jesus has invited, handpicked each and every one of us. May the Lord bless us. I just want to preface this morning's discussion with that, that we see ourselves the way we truly are in the sight of the Lord. We are God's children, the captain of the host. He's our friend and our brother and our master. I love that children's song. I may we march with the infantry, run with the cavalry, shoot the artillery. I may never zap all the enemy. I may not be a missionary in the war front, but I'm in the Lord's army. Sister Kika, your spirit is, that's your ministry. She quickly unmuted. You know some people's ministry. I don't know how many times we would have sung that song, but I think it's time we adults also remember that. I may never save all the sinners yet, dream all the dreams yet, see all the prophecy. I may never study like Olubunmi. I'm in the Lord's army.
Yes, sir.
That wasn't where I was going this morning. But I just think there's a need to really know, to assess by the eye of faith. There's a need for us to go back to where we started. Oh, how Jesus loves the little children, the way they are able to always be themselves. We are children, each one of us. You cannot improve on what Jesus has made you. You can only grow to discover what Jesus has. I think Paul described it as apprehending that for which we already are apprehended. May Christ be lifted up. May you not be alone in Jesus' name. Amen. As many of you today as feel you're running this race, you're not. There's that famous picture where there are four footprints. I don't know, please correct me. But then suddenly there were two. And then I think, I don't know the story. But I think it's the Lord asking, Lord, why were there four here and two? And the Lord says, where you see only two is because I was carrying you. We are strongest when we are weak, brethren. We are strongest when we are weak. If you are weak this morning, it's an opportunity to just look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Praise the Lord once again.
Hallelujah.
Lord, bless us. Lord, your word is a light unto our feet, is a lamp unto our path. By your word are your servants warned. In the keeping of your word, there's great reward. Father, bless us with your word. Your word is real food. Your word is wisdom. Father, bless us. Speak to us. Give us our daily bread today. Jesus, you spoke many words. Help us to understand them. Open our eyes that we may understand the scriptures. This word, bring it alive, my Lord. He said, you hide it from many, but you will reveal it to babes. Make our hearts simple. Help us to accept it. I pray we will not live by our tenets. We will not live by the unctions of yesterday alone, but give us the word for the day. You know what I've prepared? Baba, please just move this in any direction. Make yourself real. Father, this morning, many things have changed around us. But your word remains the same as you said it would. Help us to be people of the word. Help us to believe in you, to believe in your prophets, that it may be well with us.
Mm-hmm.
Father, we want to hear you, not me. Who am I? Please, my Father, bless the speaker, bless the listener. Let the word be mixed with faith. I pray we will see Jesus speak to us, Lord. It has pleased you that by the, how did your word put it? We have this kineko in jars of clay. We have these, I forget the expression the apostle used. These treasures in jars of clay so that the excellence of the power will be yours and not ours, Lord. We're jars of clay, both as speakers, as listeners. What matters is the resurrected Jesus.
Mm.
Give us to us today our daily bread.
Mm.
Be it few, be it many, just make your counsel known.
Sure.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah.
Brethren, I want thank you. I want us to continue to examine. I feel so much that it's so important for us believers to go back and reconsider every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord, and also to adapt our lives and our determinations to following Jesus in his guidance. I feel seriously that there's a deficiency of really paying attention to how Jesus wants us to live. And I think that most of the things that will help us grow, they are in the exact commandments that Christ himself gave to us. And we need to pay, I think the way the Hebrew writers put it is, we ought to pay more earnest heed to the things and the words of Christ. So that as we assess life, as we encounter life, we will be reacting and interpreting relative to the words that we have learned from our master. And I've noticed that when you fill yourself with God's word, you know how to react. You feed your spirit man. Things will not take you by surprise. Actually, when Psalm 19 or the Bible says it's by God's word that his servants are warned, it means when you are aware, because he went on to say that for who can discern his errors? It means that if you don't know what God wants for your life, at times you will not even know you are sinning. So the word sheds light. And in writing again, the Hebrew writer, it was that in chapter 4, says that the word of God is like a sword that pierces, and it's able to divide. Then he used the word bone and marrow, then soul and spirit. Then he went on to say that it discerns the thoughts and the intentions of our hearts. Who can understand his own errors? But God's word will shed light. None of us is wise enough. None of us have been to the heavens. None of us have the experience to know all of the pitfalls that Satan has been around for how many thousands and thousands times. He has seen every permutation of human beings. So we need to depend on Christ in order to defeat him. And the Bible says that he's going about like a lion that is roaring, is not ready to sleep, he's ready to devour. Satan does not want peace for us. He doesn't want us to get to heaven. He doesn't want us to please our master. And one of the tools is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So it's so incredible. And the servants, these disciples, for 3 years did nothing but follow Jesus. In following Jesus, it wasn't just a study time, right? It's not, okay, go and call me Peter, James, and John. Let's do a Bible study. No. They followed him. They saw the way he acted. They reported when he did not speak, when he spoke, how he ate, how he interacted with his mom, for 3 years, they did nothing but just study the mannerism, the personhood, the interactions, the predilections, all of it of Jesus, our master. For 3 years, they did nothing. And then when they were done, and some of them, even Peter felt he was ready, that, oh, I'm going to fight for you. I'm going to do it. The Lord still said, you're still not ready. Just hold on. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will give you boldness to now do what you need. By the way, last week, we talked about how the Lord wants us to ask for the Holy Spirit. I hope we all know that it doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit cannot give the will, that the Lord will not give the Holy Spirit unless someone is asking. Because Cornelius in the book of Acts was not asking, he was just desiring. He was a devout man, a follower of Jesus who was devout, and the Lord blessed him with the Holy Spirit. Saul in the Old Testament was not asking, but there was work to be done, and the Holy Spirit fell upon him, and they said, oh, has Saul also become one of the sons of the prophets? So we find instances in the Bible where God, in his authority for his own purpose, will bless people with the Holy Spirit. So I want to make that clarification. But if there's anyone amidst us today who is hungry and waiting, we also take from that teaching of Jesus that says to us, hey, ask me, don't keep quiet. So the Lord will ask. At times, some people are waiting for the kingdom of God. They don't even know. The disciples, although the Lord said for them to wait, the Holy Spirit will come, they were not really asking for the Holy Spirit in the upper temple. But you see that they were waiting. They were obeying their Lord, and the Holy Spirit fell upon them. So I would challenge us at best. Let's have the attitude of Cornelius, the attitude of the disciples in obeying Jesus. But now we even have the direct teachings of Jesus that say, as you're asking, also ask for the gift of the Holy Spirit and he will give it to you. We could have that confidence. Without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. So this morning, I just want us to study more about our Lord Jesus Christ. I really want to, what's the Oyinbo word there? Is it present to you? It's not present. I'm not finding the right word. I'm just going to use the one I know. I present to you the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know how beautiful a man he was. I want you to know how relatable a man Jesus was. I don't want you to put him on the cross permanently. I don't want him to put you in your Bible and shut him permanently. I want to see the humanity of Christ. If you begin to study well, you see that many of the things that Christ experienced, you experienced that again, and the things that you are experiencing. So the Hebrew writer is able to tell us that we do not have a high priest who is untouched by the feelings of our infirmities, but one who knows everything you are going through, because like you, he has suffered. And it's, the Hebrew writer told us he did it willingly, purposefully, because he really wanted to know what we feel so that he would be a faithful high priest to us. So I don't want us locking the Lord Jesus Christ in Toledo Drive in church and not taking him in to walk with us, not taking him into our families to apply his life in the way we relate to one another. And for today, specifically, I would like us to study Jesus to see how we relate with the larger culture, with the traditions around us as well. Because Jesus was interested in all of this, and he laid down precedents for Christians to follow that will guide us in how we relate to customs, how we relate to traditions, how we relate to laws, how we relate to authority. The life of Jesus is a complete model. So it's very important, like we have been teaching, that we look not just at the things that the Lord began to teach, but also the things that he began to do, like Luke said. And we will learn a lot simply by observing how Jesus handled situations. And I'd like us to go into a few of them today. Let's go to the book of Luke again. And let's look at chapter 5 today. I'll read two quick portions from Luke chapter 5, and the Holy Spirit will help us. And I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit will interpret the interpretation. Okay. You know what I mean to each one of us. From verse 12. It happened one day, verse 12, this scripture is referring to Christ, that Christ was in a certain city. And then when the Lord was there, I talked through these verses. Please, if there's any portion of this part that the Holy Spirit lays on your mind, that we, in the context of what we're talking about, that we shed some light, please don't wait for me. Unmute and let the Spirit, please, speak. Okay? Just, please, highlight points that you think would be useful for the fellowship. He said here, right, behold, a man who was full of leprosy saw Jesus and he fell on his face and he begged the Lord, implored, he said here, said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Then the Lord put out his hands and touched this man and said, yes, I'm willing, be cleansed. And that very moment, the leprosy left him. And the Lord charged the man and said, shh, tell no one, this shh is mine, right? I'm just making, you know, guys know I like to make the Bible real to myself. Don't tell anyone. But I want you to do this. I want you to go and show yourself to the priest. That I want you to just go and do the all the offering that the Lord requires. And by the way, I think that this one is covered in Leviticus 13 and 14, the law regarding cleansing. So in this example, the Lord said, go and show yourself to the priest, verse 14. Make all the offerings that you are supposed to do as a testimony to them, just like Moses commanded you. When I read this, I went, what's happening there? Then I went and dug a little further. I understand there's a little controversy about what the intention, because I'm always interested in the intentions of Christ. At times the intentions are not clear and we just obey, but at times the intentions are clear. Now, why did the Lord go out of his way to say, don't disobey the law here? Hey, I don't want you going about. I just want you to just, I know you've seen a fantastic thing, but don't forget who you are. You're a Jew. Don't forget the law that has been given to you. Go and obey it. Well, there are commentators in history in interpreting these out there. Well, don't let me say there are commentators, like they taught me in some seminar. I just read it on Google yesterday. Google, when I looked at Google, it said that some people said here that the Lord was saying, go and do obi to them, right? As a testimony to them that, see, I'm healed, right? Some people said that was what the Lord was saying. But almost same number of people said what Christ was saying here is, okay, you know what? I don't want you to be disobedient. I want you to remember that you're a Jew. I'm not here to disrupt all of this structure that God has laid down. Just be an obedient, humble yourself. Although I've healed you, right? I want you to just go and be a compliant and obedient Jew. I personally think what the Lord was saying here is the Lord was saying, go and obey the law of Moses. Go ahead and do what you should do. You have seen a miracle. Don't get distracted. Don't let, this is the tradition. This is a set in the law. It's the commandment of God. Go and obey it. That's what I personally think as I'm reading it. And I want us to just be focused a little on that because we can learn. There's been instances in Christianity that because we've come into Christianity, we just think that gives us the liberty to just do as we want. They're not us. I mean, there are people in the, I mean, if you read, and I was really struck. I told you, I read Things Fall Apart Again. I felt like reading the old African literatures. And one of the central themes in Things as it was ending was when Christianity came into the Eastern region and the Lord gifted Achebe in describing the interaction between missionaries and the tradition of the land. And one of the things that caused fight that resulted in the main hero of the whole book committing suicide was that the Christian, I think it was Things Fall Apart that he went to kill the python, the holy python of the tradition of the land, to show that he's now a Christian, because there was a teacher, a native Christian convert who was very zealous. I was teaching that in order to show that you now believe in Jesus, you must go and raise down all of the idols. You must go and do all of these things. So one of the converts thought, yeah, I'm a believer. In order to prove myself, I have to prove myself by killing the holy python of my land. You know, that kind of militant Christianity, disruptive things. And that just caused a fight. It caused disruption. It caused fights, the old traditionalists, and it just disrupted the entire work of ministry in that land. But I want us to learn here from how the Lord in this regard, interacted with his culture. The Lord knew he was bringing a new order, but the Lord knew he was also speaking with a Jew. He also knew that this old order, this particular old order, was given by the Lord in Leviticus. And in many instances, you will see where the Lord Jesus totally disagreed with how the people were carrying out the law. And that's part of what we're going to learn today. But in this case, you could see him say, hey, I'm not here to overturn the law. I'm here to fulfill the stops and so on. Today's message is dealing with our culture with understanding. Just dealing with our culture with understanding. At times, Satan, we want to use the things that are legitimate, that we deem legitimate, to disrupt the larger work of Christ. And we must be wise in interpreting scriptures so that it does not use us to cause trouble that necessarily do not promote the cause of Jesus Christ. We are called to peace. We are not called to prove points. We are not called to score religious points. We are called to peace. Christ came for peace. Although in carrying out his work, by nature, what we are teaching will be controversial. What we are teaching, Satan will hinder it. But we are not inviting it deliberately. We are not the one causing trouble. It's people who are causing trouble because we love Jesus. So the Lord here says to this man, just as Moses commanded, go and do. You have been healed of leprosy. Go and do what Moses commanded you in this instance. That's lesson number one that I wanted us to look at. That Christ did not come saying that all the traditions of our churches, if you have a new revelation, then you just disrupt the old thing. And I think there was that tendency, like when the newborn again movement started, there was the tendency to just discard everything that the older churches had done, because there was a new move, the born again movement. But the word of wisdom there would have told us that we don't throw away the baby with the bathtub. There is a wealth of songs and of hymns, of literature, of experiences that we can learn and take into the revelation that Christ is giving for our time. Thank you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. Jesus said, I have not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. The Bible says Jesus is the end of the law. Until he was crucified, the law was still in effect. There you go. Sister Wura gave an expansion into that. Thank you. So the Lord is not there fighting. The Lord is not there fighting Moses and fighting the law. No. And we also must carry the same wisdom as we deal with the larger culture, as we deal with the church traditions that we come out of. There are people who will say, who came out of maybe the apostolic or the Caribbean and Cerebral movement, and we ridicule every tradition. No, out of these movements, the Lord has done wonderful things. We cannot throw the baby out. We must show deference, meekness of wisdom, of understanding in everything we do. And that's how we reflect the glory of the Lord. Many people are now going back to those same old churches to tap from some of the, after we've gone and we've all gone bananas in prosperity teaching and faith teaching. We're now looking for sanity. And guess where we're going? We're going back to the same things that were discarded. Because we ought not to have discarded the good with the bad. Is that the correct thing? That's correct. Okay. The wisdom of Jesus Christ there. When you're about to go ballistic on people, remember the wisdom of Jesus. Calm down. When you're about to go ecclesiastical, remember the wisdom of Jesus. When you're about to bring out the New Testament to shoot down everything, remember there's wisdom. There's wisdom, the wisdom of Jesus, the calm of Jesus. Calm down. You have to be calming down. You have to be calming down. I don't know where you people stop. Mommy, you need to be calming down. Our Lord is so beautiful in that regard. He was beautiful in his inflections, beautiful in his retrospection, beautiful in his reaction. So totally, utterly unpredictable, and yet ultimately his choices were right. So we have this legacy of attitudes and things that Christ did that we can learn from. We can apply it in dealing with our parents. At times we just discard everything old. Our parents knew nothing. They did the old times are all bad. I know I'm extending this teaching. May the Lord give you the grace to apply it in the way it applies to you. I'm talking about the way it applies to me. But when we calm down, you now notice that you are becoming your parents. You are now appealing in the same way to your children, the way they used to appeal to you. Let's honor the traditions and deal with our traditions with understanding. It's not just in this that Christ taught. The Lord also taught about, if you look at Luke 5, 33 to 39, there's also a lesson I wanted us. It's in fasting. I'm going to read it quick. Then they said to Jesus, why do your disciples and John fast many times and make prayers and likewise? Please let me monitor the chat. Thank you. And likewise, those of the Pharisees. But you, your own disciples, he's just eating and drinking all the time. They don't fast though. I mean, here's the Lord's ministry developing as a very spiritual rabbi. Everybody he's teaching. And they are looking at his disciples. You don't look like the disciples of Pharisees and Sadducees. These guys seem, they are fasting. And the disciples of John, his contemporaries, contemporary co-rabbis, competing ministries. They say, we see something about you guys don't seem to be spiritual enough. I don't think you are fasting enough. So they went to him, they said, how can you be a teacher and your disciples do not fast? Disciples of people who are teachers, people who are spiritual, they are fasting all the time. Why are your own disciples not fasting? We think that the first thing you will teach them is how to pray all night and how to fast. You must not be a spiritual man. They didn't say this. That's me extending their thoughts. So they asked the Lord that question. And it was interesting to me the way the Lord answered them, because there's wisdom in it again. The Lord said to them, can you make the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is still with them? But the days will come where the bridegroom will be taken away from them, then they will fast in those days. You know, the way the Lord laid this in my heart is, many of these people who are asking these questions, they saw fasting as a tradition. And they saw that tradition as a sign of spirituality. But Christ here was referring them to the main purpose of fasting itself. At times we do certain spiritual things as a tradition. But Christ is pointing out to them that you have to look at why. What's the meaning of when you fast? Is it not that you are calling the Father? You are calling me. You are making inquiry of me. But the me that they are fasting to, I'm right there. So why fast? They don't have to fast yet. I'm right there. I'm here. They just need to tap me and ask me. But you people are fasting. You're not even asking, why am I fasting? He said, but don't worry. When I'm taking from them, that's when you will see that it's not that they can't fast. It's just that the time is not now. They know the meaning of fasting. They know why they are fasting. Many of us also pray, and we're not asking ourselves, isn't the reason we are praying so that the Lord will answer us, right? So that we will have a connection with the Lord as cases will be stated before him. It's not, but many prayers are prayers of tradition. I will pray in the morning, I'll pray at night, I'll pray in the evening. Why are you praying? I suspect some people said they have such a set of prayer points that you've forgotten that the Lord has answered that prayer point already. And you continue to pray it. Right? I remember something the Lord taught me a long time ago. I would pray with Simi and Anike, and I wasn't teaching them. I would pray with them. And then I realized that when I knelt down, I was praying with them. Then I'll say, Lord, please bless Auntie Folake. Lord, please bless Auntie Kemi. Please get grandma and bless grandpa. Then the Lord showed me, if you are really talking to me, will you be calling your mother grandma? If you are really talking to me, will you be calling for like Adeniyi auntie? Say, you are not talking to me. You are praying as a tradition. Say, when you pray, be real. It isn't prayers. You are supposed to, you are praying the children's prayer. I mean, it's okay if it were that I was teaching them to pray. No. I was actually praying with them and I forgot who I was talking to. So I was talking for the kids rather than talking to my father. So the Lord taught me. And also in praise and worship. But that's how the Lord said, Listen, Wale, are you kidding me? If you really were going to your, I think the Lord made that point in Malachi as well. Now think about it, you said that you are meeting with me. But are you not meeting in tradition? Will you be late if you were meeting with your governors? I think the prophet said that. He said, if it were your governors, is this really how you'd be conducting things? No, that means they're just doing it as a tradition. I think Malachi had said that you only do these things, you do the things you won't do to your governor, and you say you are meeting with the mighty God. Tradition with understanding. If we have understanding, then we will know we are going to the house of the Lord. I have to be ready. I have to be early. If indeed it is the house of the Lord that we're going to. So the lesson today is, let's look at the substance from this verse of substance of what we're doing. Don't let us do stuff in tradition. Let's do the real thing. Let's look to the substance of our actions. When we say our Father, let's mean our Father. Who art in heaven? Let's mean who art in heaven. When we say praise and worship unto the King, the Lord says to me, Shebi, you have been to Owambe parties. You've seen professional praise and worshipers. They've come to praise because they are paid money. Is that really how you will praise me? If you are really praising me, there's traditional praise and worship, and then there's substantive praise and worship. May the Lord help us to do everything with understanding. Christ, in this example, pointed out to them that they ought to do everything they do, especially this fasting thing. He said to them, you fast as a tradition. But really, when you think about it, fasting is supposed to be to me. And I'm here with my disciples. When I leave, then they will fast. But right now, really, it doesn't make sense for them to be fasting. Right. So our Lord did not disregard tradition. He only handled tradition with understanding. And all of us must handle tradition with understanding. It's not that we now say, we're not going, by the way, the time is now. When we're waiting, it's now time to fast. Yeah, so people don't disappear to Nigeria during, like Biola is about to do, don't disappear to Nigeria during fasting and praying. Auntie Buki, don't disappear to Nigeria during fasting and praying. You must fast during fasting and praying. Nigeria is not an escape from fasting and praying. Anyway, don't think you people will start thinking, yeah. Anyway, that's, by the way, that's someone for another day. Well, how am I going to get out of this? So the Lord did not disregard tradition. Sorry, Buki, I apologize. No sorry for you. There are some other examples that I'd like to give before we round up. Let's go to, there was a good case in, just to speed in this, or you can read it later. Matthew talked about it. Mark talked about it. It's in Mark 7, starting from verse 2. Please write it down. And Matthew 15, starting verse 20. That was when they accused the Lord again that his disciples were eating without washing their hands. Right? And that's a line in which Christ actually taught directly about tradition. He said, let's go there, actually. Let's go to Matthew 15. From verse 16. So Jesus said in verse 16, and this was after he was told in verse 12 that Pharisees were offended when they heard the saying. And he was telling them that what goes into a mouth, the man's mouth does not defile him. And that was after they said, why are you eating with defiled hands? Right? So from verse 15, Peter answered and said, explain this parable. So Jesus said, are you also without understanding? And here's a verse in which he linked the way we perform things to understanding. He expected his disciples and us to have understanding of things, not just do things. Say, do you not yet understand that whatsoever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things that proceed from the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart comes out evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hand does not defile a man. That was his explanation to them. They were worried about washed hands and tradition. But Christ said, look more at the things of heart. Now, this lesson is a lesson from Christ. At times, as Christians, we focus on what is someone wearing? How does someone speak? What is we focus on external things. And we focus less on internal things, the real intrinsic value of a Christian, compassion and judgment and kindness, obedience and sensitivity to God, willingness to obey the law of the Lord, the real things that show where the heart is. But there are times when folks are judged based on their outward appearance alone. But the Bible says we should not judge for the outward appearance, but we should judge right from the inner. Then in that verse, in Mark, rendition of it, the Lord actually said that you are setting aside the law of God by your tradition. You're not really focusing on what Jesus is teaching. You're focusing on traditions. And there are lots of congregations like that today, that it's this tradition, that tradition. And in the midst of all of these traditions, we've lost the substance of what Jesus really wants us to do, which is to love one another, forbear with one another, be compassionate one towards another, and above all, to love the Lord our God with all of our hearts. There are other examples. When they came to the Lord and they said that, another example is when the Lord did not teach, you notice that the Lord did not start his ministry by teaching his disciples to pray. No. They actually went to him. They said, teach us to pray like these other people. Then the Lord went ahead and began to teach them to pray. Now, you notice that in another example, the Lord said to his disciples in Matthew, he said that John the Baptist came, neither eating nor drinking. You had a problem with it. But the Son of Man came, I'm drinking wine and I'm eating, and you're calling me names. But he said, wisdom is justified of his own. Wisdom is justified. You are leaving the clear mark that I'm a servant of God. You are not looking at fruit. You are just looking at conduct. I'm pouring a wine, and it has become a stumbling block to you. Here Christ was appealing to understand. He said, but here's John the Baptist, who was not pouring wine. He was pretty primitive. You still are not satisfied. It shows that your problem really is your judgment. Mm. It has nothing to do with conduct. Because if you look closely, you will see that the God that John the Baptist is serving, that's the God I'm serving. So Christ was teaching us not to be preoccupied. The way we interact with our communities, our society, should not be through external things. Let's look at the substance of what Jesus Christ is teaching. What's this person's heart like? Does this person love Jesus Christ? At times we hinder the work of God by the stumbling blocks and the tradition that we put in the way of people. May our portion not be like that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
And there's another big example, and the biggest one is really, you all know it, the approach to Sabbath. Let's read, if you read Deuteronomy chapter 5, please write it down. Exodus chapter 20, it outlines the law, the teachings of the law regarding Sabbath. Now, in the New Testament, if you read Matthew chapter 12, verse 1 to 14, Mark chapter 2, starting from verse 27, and Luke chapter 6, let's go to the Luke rendition of it. We can close this teaching with this. In Luke chapter 6, it says, now it happened on the second Sabbath after the first, that the Lord went through the grain fields, and his disciples plucked the heads of the grain and ate, rubbing them in their hands. And some of the Pharisees said to them, why are you doing this? What is unlawful to do on the Sabbath? And Jesus answering them said, have you not even read this? That David, what David did when he was hungry, and those who were with him, how he went into the house of the Lord, he took and ate the showbread, and also gave some to those with him, which is not lawful for any but the priest to eat. And he said to them, the Son of Man is Lord even over the Sabbath. They had a lot of problems with the way the Lord observed the Sabbath. And the Lord kept appealing to them that don't look at the tradition of Sabbath. Look at why God instituted the Sabbath. In another rendition, it says the Sabbath was not made. The Sabbath was made for man. Man was not made for the Sabbath. This service, there was a day that Brother Bumi was late to church. Very, very late. And he was late. We didn't know where he had gone. So I thought he overslept. But he came later. I explained that he was coming to church. He found someone by the wayside or something who needed help. I can't remember the detail. That, as I was thinking about this, that example came to me. There could be a church tradition that says, I can't be late to church under no circumstance. And you neglect to help the poor. You neglect to do the weightier things. You neglect, I'm coming to church. You neglect to show charity in your house. You are so angry every Sunday morning because everybody is late. You are angry. By the time you get to church, the spirit of fellowship is gone because you fought everybody in your house. They had this attitude towards Sabbath. Thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt. That was their whole attitude. And the Lord had to remind them that the Lord did not give the Sabbath to chain you and burden you. Sunday service is not to chain. It's supposed to liberate you. It's supposed to make you happy. It's supposed to be a joy. Don't now use Sunday service. Some churches use Sunday service to deny their members of interaction with their own family members. You keep them in church afterwards. You keep them before in the name of serving the Lord. They have totally destroyed what God intended for Christian fellowship. For the service of the Lord, you make men ignore their children. You guilt them into many things. This wasn't the life. Jesus said, remember the original things. The original peace, righteousness, joy in the Holy Ghost. So at times in forwarding the interest of peace and righteousness and joy in the Holy, you may need to overlook the tradition because the tradition is supposed to enhance these inherent qualities. God did not create us for tradition. He created tradition to help us. And we must be careful that we are not using traditions as an excuse not to do the things that God wants us to do. Let's be very careful. When you begin to receive doctrines that are burdensome, that give you headache, reject them. Now, I'm not saying that the doctrine of Jesus will not challenge you. But until it challenges you, it will challenge your heart. It will be with love that you will do it if it's truly from the Lord. The Holy Spirit knows how to deal with his own. The Bible says that with joy we withdraw from the wells of salvation. With joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. There are so many joyless traditions. And we must reject joyless traditions. Jesus was full of joy. Seek the joy in Christ. When you read your Bible, read the Lord Jesus. Read how he carried out the things he's telling you. He was full of joy. Now, you may have trouble because you are following Christ. You'll be rejected. Even by the church, you'll be rejected at times. Jesus, in giving, told a woman or a man, I don't know who it was. He said, it was the Pharisees. He said, you've begun to teach that the money that someone is supposed to use to take care of their parents, as long as you pay tithe and offering with it, that's fine. He said, you have neglected the law of God because of your tradition. See the wisdom of God, brothers and sisters. Say, after paying my tithe, my offering, you will not tell mommy that you also bought Gucci bag. You won't tell mommy that you will not blame those ones. It is the tithe and offering. But sincerely, they'll say, come and do the fruit, the offering of the first fruit. What's it called? They do the first salary, give it to the Lord. One tenth, give it to the Lord. You must tithe the gross rather than the net. They always look into the Bible to tie you down with laws and tradition. So much so that you are now a stingy, useless Christian to the people who should feel the prosperity that Jesus has given you. The church will get fat. Your people will be getting lean. Mm. Because no matter what, they can't deny you of the one you spend on your own. So it's the one that you spend on the poor that you'll be giving to the Lord. Jesus said, no. That doesn't jive with me.
Mm.
But the essence of giving to the Lord is that the lives of people will be improved. It's not to buy big church, buy Ikini. We must look at understanding, addressing tradition with understanding. I'd like to close out this morning with something. Let's close our Bibles. I'd like us to talk. And this is me. Right. May the Lord help us to process this. But there's a conversation that took place this week that I think is maybe somewhat relevant to this topic that I think I'd like us to treat. So there was a big news blast that one of the popular ministers, we know him. He was the pioneering minister for Redeemed Christian Church of God. Redeemed Christian Church is one of the biggest denominations of churches in the world. I'll say that, yeah. You do Catholic, you do Anglican, Methodist, Baptist. You can't do better than Redeem after that. Anyway, really popular man. And he resigned his post to take up some traditional, a major traditional role in Nigeria. And because I was thinking about this sermon, I thought about that. And there's been a great debate. How can a Christian minister go and be Oba? Does he not know that rituals, there will be ritual, there will be this. It is just not compatible with Christianity. And all of, and I kept thinking and thinking to myself. And because I was thinking about this message, something was dropped in my spirit. And I want you to think about it. Number one, don't be in teasy over stuff like that. Let's not. There's nothing inherently Christian or un-Christian about being an Oba in Nigeria or anywhere. There's nothing Christian or non-Christian about being, it's not going to be a prostitute. If we apply understanding, the purpose of an Oba is to make the life of the people better. The rituals and tradition that come with it, right? If you're a Christian, you have the Spirit of the Lord. You can reject those. To be given a position like that is an opportunity for such a man, who knows if he's led by the Spirit, to bring light to a whole city. He has influences. Let's not judge and assess men by such things. They are minimal to the kingdom. Let's watch what he does when he gets there. I think Christ says something. The Lord said, if you had known, you would not have convicted the innocent or thereabout. And that's the kind of understanding that the Lord would apply to a situation like that. As Christians, we must. Don't let's be inflective. Don't let's say traditionally Christians are, even traditions are changing. In the traditions that people were citing, these were cultures that were by nature ritualistic, pagan. In fact, they call them pagan tradition. Also, of course, the king-making ritual will be pagan. Everything will be pagan. The city in which this man is becoming a king is one of the primary cities for mission work in the whole of Nigeria. Ogbomosho. That's brother. You see Ogbomosho people here. Even the kingmakers, many of their families are now Christians. So it's not necessary. It was true in the times when the missionary taught us not to interact with the pagan practices. It was true that our traditional practices were steeped in paganism. So it was safe for Christians not to have any interaction with such. But that's no longer the case. If you go to that city, there are churches all over. We never know what the Lord is doing in this regard. Let's not inflexively join people who just judge based on the surface. There's been a lot of controversies like that. If you study the evolution of Christianity in our nation, especially, there was a time when they thought beating the drum, which is beating using the talking drum, was pagan. In fact, they thought that our names were inherently pagan. So anytime you were going to convert to a Christian and they baptized you, you must take an English name. What has been William? What was that? They'll give a particular name and it's William. My uncle's name is Jones. But they said, my mom's name is Elizabeth. They said, when you are doing baptism then, I don't know whether it's in all church cultures. It may just be in, it may just be Sister Runke. It may just, she's a Luther somehow. Anything a Luther is, you can trust Sister Runke. Anything, so it's me, it's I said you're a Luther. We can talk, go on mute. We'll talk later, Sister Runke. We're still in, you're right, Sister Shade, but we must recognize that there's also been progress. We must recognize that there's been progress. The societies that the missions speak to is different. And the risk that people are afraid of, I'm not denying that it's there, but we must also recognize that things are changing. Let's wait for the fruit before we arrive at a conclusion. I remember the time that they would tell us that dancing in church is inherently pagan because, but it's a tradition. Until our own people started going to missionary and mission schools, and they started looking into scriptures, and they were able to discern to them, said that you must separate culture from religion, from you. No culture is inherently in of itself pagan. It's what you do with it. The talking drum is not pagan. It's what you do with the talking drum. And I was saying that even our names, but now we have a pastor. Do you know what your pastor's last name means? We had an elder member whose last name was Oguntoyinbo. Our pastor's name is Ogunson. What does that mean? Sister Kike, where are you? I've missed you. Where's Sister Kike?
He's right here. He doesn't understand your
verbal. Where are you? What does Ogunson mean?
She's British. He doesn't understand Yoruba that much.
He's British.
The Ogunson, the gods, Ogun? The little gods.
The root is Ogunson.
No, you modified the root.
God of iron.
You modified it.
God of iron.
The God of Ogun is God of iron. It means God of iron pace. Oh, Ogunson.
Oh, Ogun is God of thunder. I thought it was God of thunder. No,
Ogun is God of iron.
Olu.
Even that, what does it mean? You can't remove the Ogun there. But can we say the Holy Spirit is not moving in him because his name is Ogunson? So after a while, our people started realizing that the value of Christ is not in name, it's not in nomenclature, it's in the conversion of the heart and the substance. The substance and the measure of a man is what the Holy Ghost does within. Not in physical things. Anyway, as we close, the lesson today is, let's learn to interact with understanding. Let love guide every judgment that we make. The Lord Jesus was there. He was instinctive. He wasn't a bull in a China store just breaking everything down and doing everything. And I really admire that about our Lord. May the Lord give us that wisdom. May he give us that pause. May he help us to assess correctly. And in all things, may our lives and our interactions, may it be according to our Lord Jesus. What does that say? What does it say? Pardon to your servant. When my master goes into and bow down in the temple of Rimmon. When I bow down in the temple of Rimmon, may the Lord please pardon your servant in this day. Brabumi, can you explain that?
It was when Naaman was cured and he still had to go back to his gods. And he said, you know, all that wasn't eradicated in one day.
Which... Yeah. Right. That's wisdom. The Lord is not as we think at times. We always go black and white. Are you for me or against me? Boom. No. Understanding we bring full conversion. I'm not saying we should tolerate iniquity. No. But we're children of light. We should not be threatened by darkness. We should just shed light on darkness. Let us pray. Father, our desire, Lord, is that instinctively you may direct our hearts to assess things as you would. Help us, Father, to be grounded in love and in understanding and in patience. Help us, Father, to have the mind of Jesus, this unusual understanding that the leaders around him could just not place him. He could not be bottled. But yet the result of everything Christ did was obvious. Give us the grace to apply your word in grace. Give us the grace, Father, to be strict where we need to be, but not to be strict when it's not required. Help us to see the move of Satan before it's manifest. Help us, Father, not to discard the wounded in our zeal. Let your grace rest upon us. In the same token, I pray, Lord, that we will not tolerate iniquity. But in all things, Father, just give us your wisdom on how to react to our culture, to react around us in such a way that all of our actions preach the gospel of grace and peace. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Lord.
In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.